I invite you again to turn to Psalm 119, those verses we read earlier together. Psalm 119, verse 89. David the psalmist declares, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." This morning we considered there that the psalmist declared in verse 73, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." Looking back to creation of Adam and Eve there in the garden. And these two particular verses look back again, but to the creation of the universe and the planets and the spheres and the galaxies, which just blows our mind as we consider it. When you consider as that Voyager spacecraft journeyed into space, taking a picture of planet Earth, and there it was, the Earth surrounded by the night and the blue planet, they call this. And as it journeyed further and further and further into deep space, it became smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. That's how big we are. We're nobodies, are we? We're nobodies, but we're everybody, because we have a Saviour and a God who is great. And this great God has established the heavens. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." There was a comfort, I believe, for us tonight. There's a lot of talk, if you listen to the internet and to news. World War III's coming. Did you know that? World War III. It's on the horizon. Two hot spots, the Middle East and Ukraine. And our European leaders and our Prime Minister are invested, it seems, in World War III. But take comfort. We're told here, "Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." I take those as words of comfort. Men of the world, presidents and prime ministers and dictators, are but small men in the hand of a great an almighty, powerful God who is working out his eternal purposes through his providence of men and women in this world, even you and I. And he says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." As the heavens are settled and immovable, as the heavens are set in their sphere, they orbit. We've been thinking with my grandchildren recently of the precession of the planets. You have the moon there, and right down below is Venus. At a certain time of the year, this time of the year, for a period of time, Venus just shines so brightly. And my granddaughter's here this morning, she's quite fascinated by the moon. She told me this week it was a super moon. And she said, "We saw the moon, Grandy, and it came up over the horizon, over there, and it became bigger and bigger. It was orange. Orange." See, "I've never seen an orange moon before." But it's settled, you see. That moon knows when it's to rise. You know, the sun knows when to rise and when to set. It's this possession of the planets, and they're moving. So it's not a clockwork mechanism that's been wound up by some creator and set in motion. It's gradually wearing down. It's settled. It's immovable. Look at the seasons. We're just coming through winter. We're coming into spring. Happened last year. And the year before. These things are settled. And we should take great comfort at. As God has settled the seasons and the planets in their course, what is even greater? What can be even greater than that for our contemplation tonight? forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Just let that sink in for a moment. Thy word is settled forever. It's never going to change. It doesn't need to change. We have a full revelation of God. We have the truth. All that we need to know for salvation, of our condition, of the coming of the Messiah, of prophecies, is all here revealed to us. All that we need to know is here. But there's going to be a day when we come into glory, we're going to enter even greater truths. We're going to behold his face, we're going to be with him and worship him. We're just about little children, aren't we? Paddling on the edge of a sea, this great vast ocean, which is the word of God and the person and works of God. This word will never be unsettled. Men have done all in their power to destroy the word of God, and they have failed miserably. They put pastors in prison, they burned churches, they want to disperse the Christian families around the world, and yet it thrives because it's settled. God has established his word. And it's upon the word of God, dear friends, that it's settled. Faith cometh by hearing. Yes? And hearing what? The word of God. Faith does not come through speaking in tongues and healings and miracles, raising the dead. They saw all of that in the day of Jesus. And yet they did not believe. That's the problem of the human condition. Our unbelief. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So for us tonight, this book is a book of comfort. Verse 90, by faithfulness is unto all generations. That is to you. He's been faithful to our forebears and previous generations, going back millennia. By faithfulness is unto all generations. That has established the earth and it abideth. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God is righteous. God is just. God is merciful. Our God is a God full of tender mercies. You won't hear the Muslims speak like this, or the Hindus, because they don't know such a God. The poor Muslim is doing all he can. He's praying five times a day, going on pilgrimage to Mecca. In Sri Lanka, every year I go there, you see a plane load of people every time in the airport, all in their white robes, with their sashes, all going to Mecca to march around that stone. And for what? What does it avail them? Nothing. No peace, no hope, no comfort. But for the Christian, we have a God who's faithful. A God who hears the cries of his people. This word of God will never, ever pass away. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. Verse 91, just enforces that thought. They continue this day, that's the planets, the sphere, the galaxies, they continue this day according to thine ordinances, according to his word. This is something that God has ordained. And why? For what purpose? They are all thy servants. So when we look at the stars, you go out tonight, it's going to be a frosty night. Make sure your plants are all tucked up, warm with your little babies. It's going to be a cold night tonight. The sky will be clear. And you go somewhere where it's not so much light pollution. You can see the glory of the heavens. You can see the glory. That speaks of a creator. One who sustains, one who holds. They continue this day according to by ordinances. We can translate the word ordinances there, according to thy word. For all are thy servants. And these servants speak of the Creator, a sustainer, the one who holds all things, the one who sets the earth in motion. And there's the earth spinning. Where's the thread? Where's the pedestal? Not there. It's all set in motion by Almighty God. And may continue this day according to thy word. For all are thy servants. So David is taking comfort. This is what sustains him. This is what holds him up. This is why he makes those declarations there, 57. Thou, Lord, art my portion. Declaration. Resolution. I said I will keep my words. He's keeping his words because God keeps his word to him. God's looking for people who keep their promises to God. You made promises to God? You have, I know you have. We all do, don't we? But are you faithful in keeping that promise? We expect God to be faithful. He expects us to be faithful. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. So if the stars and creation are his servants, how much more we should be his servant? Verse 92, he says, unless thy law have been my delights, in the plural. He normally speaks of the law being his delight. But now he's speaking of the law, that's the Torah, that thing which many churches have set aside. There's only one church I know of, locally, which has the Ten Commandments. That's at St. Paul's in Bexhill. It's the only church. All the other churches either had them or they pulled them down. Unless by law have been my delight. Do you delight in the law of God? Is it your delight? No, is it your delights? There's more, isn't there? It's delights. Oh, we're under grace, they tell me. Hallelujah, we are. We're not under law. Mm-mm, I think we are. We're under law. The law is there as a schoolmaster to instruct us of our need for a savior. We're sinners. We need a savior. And the law, in shadow form, through the types and the offerings in the Old Testament, speak of one who is greater. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And it's through the law, as I said this morning, that we live in the image of God. This law is a reflection of Him. We're created, aren't we? The Shorter Catechism. What's the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And it's through our obedience to the law of God. Not that we are saved by our obedience. No. Grace. God's mercy. Unless thy law have been my delights. Friend, foster, meditate, and delight in God's word. Unless, if it wasn't my delight, I would have perished. Unless thy law be my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. And David had many, many afflictions. We can consider that this morning briefly. Psalm 132 and verse 1, the Song of Decrees. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. They wanted to ruin him. His son rose up in rebellion against him. King Saul wanted to kill him. There were those in the court who wanted to destroy him, entrap him. David's comfort, David's hope was in this law. Unless my law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. all his afflictions. And may I suggest to you, Christian friend, likewise, in all your afflictions, if it wasn't for the word of God which has kept you, you would have perished. This word is a keeping word. It's a word of comfort, it's a word of hope. And the world would have us not read it, do away with it. The day when it was illegal to own a Bible in this country. But what do you have in your hands tonight? You have a Bible. What do you have at home? Several Bibles, isn't there? We all do. God has kept his word. Unless my Lord had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. I should. I would have. Remember when my wife's having chemo down in Eastbourne? John came in. John with his floppy hat. John was bolshy. Rude. Angry. Because he had cancer. And the nurses knew it. As soon as John came in, they dealt with him. Because they knew full well he'd kick off and cause havoc in the ward. So they dealt with it. That's how the Lord reacts to their afflictions. My dear wife patiently endured. That's how we react to the afflictions. Speaks to the world. So we considered this morning. Look at the way he's reacting. Look at the way God is supporting him, sustaining him. Look at the world. They're kicking off. They're shouting. They're angry. Angry against God. The one who is their only hope if they were but to realise it. Unless thy Lord be my delights. Oh, delights in the word of God. Spend time in it. Yes, we spend time in our garden. I love my garden. I love my grandchildren. But oh, I may foster a deeper love for the word of God. Make this your first port of call in days of trouble and strife and affliction. Don't run to friends, run to the Saviour. Run to the one who can help in our afflictions. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I will never forget. I forget. Someone said to me, what did you do last Friday? I can't remember what I did last Friday. I just couldn't remember. I was trying to dig that memory out of my head to 2 days ago. I couldn't remember. That's our human condition, isn't it? We forget. Sometimes I forget things which are quite embarrassing. Gary, you're supposed to be preaching here next week. Or something. Am I? That happened to me, though. Just a few weeks ago. I said, sorry, I can't come. I'm preaching somewhere else. I forget. And as we allow the word of God to sink deep into our hearts and to our minds, we don't forget, do we? In Sri Lanka last year, there's a young lady there, pastor's wife, been married 6 months. I was reading Psalm 19. And she was mouthing the words. She knew it in her heart. She knew it. She didn't need a Bible. She knew it. And I was speaking to her afterwards. She knew pretty much half the Bible. Another man in Sri Lanka I met last year. Any verse, he can quote it. Any verse. Amazing. Unless thy Lord be my delights. You see, they have a delight for the word of God. I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me, thou hast enlivened me. Your word brings me life, vitality, strength. Quicken me. Is that your weekly prayer? Lord, quicken me. Yes, I know we're getting old. I know we're getting forgetful. That's why we pray such prayers. That the Lord would quicken me. But then he says, moving on quickly. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Spurgeon says this, there's no greater prayer to bring before the throne of grace than this one here. I am thine. I am yours, Lord. You're my heavenly father. As an earthly father would protect his child, provide for its child, so a heavenly father would for his. And he does. In his afflictions, he prays, I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. I am thine. Thy creation, where we were this morning. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Thy creation, we are his. He has made us. He has made all men, all flesh. I am his by creation. I am his by adoption. Been adopted into the family of God. Look at you. Look at me. Who? Nobody's. I don't understand it. I still can't understand it. If it wasn't for God laying his hand upon me and adopting me into his family, I'd probably have been dead a long time ago with lots of my friends. We'll be here tonight. But he's adopted us into his family. And what a family it is. Look at the family. Friends from Holland. Friends from India. Wherever you go around the world, in this country, you can find the assembly of God's people, the brothers and sisters. This is remarkable, isn't it? You'll find fellowship. You find hospitality. Most times you find hospitality. But it's with the family of God. You've been adopted. We have a heavenly father. And by our love for one another, we are united to one another. We're his by creation, by adoption, and by marriage. We are the spouse. He is the bridegroom. Bush's favourite psalm, book, Song of Solomon. Yeah. Speaks of the bridegroom in all his splendour, all his beauty. Ah. Well, it's going to be a great day, friends. The marriage feast of the Lamb. Yeah. We're going to be there. What a prospect. And some of our friends are already there. By creation, by adoption, by marriage, by redemption. He's purchased us with his precious blood. You're no longer your own. He's come to a slave market and he's purchased you. Not with silver and gold, which are corruptible, but by his precious blood. Redemption. It's grace. It's mercy. Toward me. Just let that sink in for a moment. The eternal Son of God bled on Calvary's tree for my redemption. The price has been paid. Nothing else to do. It's complete. And the Father is satisfied. And by stipulation, by declaration, he says, I am thine. Nobody else's. I am thine. He says, I'm your servant. I am thine. Because I'm thine, because by creation, adoption, marriage, redemption, because I am thine, save me. Save me in my affliction. For I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me. See, they're always there, aren't they, in the background. The wicked. Those who hate the Christian. At work, in the workplace, at school, at college, even in our own families, the wicked have hated me. They want to destroy me. They want to entrap me. They want me to fall into that pit. They want to bury me alive. But I will consider thy testimonies. He's considering. He's pondering. He's meditating. Despite all the work of the wicked, which is against him. But I will consider thy testimonies. I've seen an end of all perfection, he says. But thy commandment is exceeding broad. We finished on that verse this morning. I've seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment exceeding broad. Satan will say to us, you're getting too keen, you know, pull it back a bit. Don't be so excitable. No, we are to be excitable, because it's a broad place he's bringing us to. An open space where we can enjoy freedom, true freedom. My chains fell off. He set me free. Satan has a chain. Lord Jesus breaks those chains and brings us into this wide, broad space. And here it is. This book is a wide, broad space. You would never exhaust it. It's amazing. And quickly moving on, he says, oh, how I love my law. Verse 97. It is my meditation all day. Christian, can you make that proclamation? Oh, how I love thy law. C.S. Lewis says, I just can't get my head around that statement. How I love thy law. The Torah. The law. How can the psalmist pray such a prayer? And as C.S. Lewis contemplated and meditated upon it, the light dawned on him that this is the word of life. The only word of life. And C.S. Lewis came to understand what the psalmist meant here. Oh, how love I thy law. Have you come to that understanding, Christian? It's so lovely, more precious than gold and silver, sweeter than honey. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is it sweet to you? Honey, for the Hebrews, the sweetest substance they could come across. And for the psalmist, this word was sweet. Sweet. All the day long, he meditates, he ruminates, he contemplates, he ponders this blessed word of God. And through it, he receives life, understanding. Thou, through thy commandments, have made me wise. He prayed that, didn't he, this morning? Thy hands have made me, fashioned me, give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. Verse 98. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Is this man a bit of a big head, a bit of a show off? I have more understanding than the ancients. I have more understanding than my teachers. No. He has understanding because the Spirit of God has given him wisdom to understand the commandments and the precepts. And because he has this understanding, he says, verse 101, I've refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. He hates every evil way. Now, this is not PC to say this today, but here we go. He hates every false religion. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam. Every false way. every false way you can think, Christian Science, Jehovah Witnesses. It's a strong word. I refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep my word. What did I say, hate? He does hate it. 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, again, therefore I hate every false way. We're too tolerant. We're too tolerant with false teaching, false doctrine in the church and in the world. Time to man up as the people of God, to speak the truth. Yes, I know when you speak the truth, you put that target on your back, but hey, you may save a soul. You may win someone for Christ. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. I hate every false way. And because God has given me his understanding, he can say 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. When you know the truth, when you know the right way, you see, you don't want to go down the false way, do you? Now someone says to you, if you've got a job, for instance, you know, you're cutting a piece of wood. No, you cut it this way. No, you use a saw. You don't use a hammer, do you? You use a saw. That's the proper way to do it. You don't use the hammer to cut a piece of wood. Some people may do. I've known a few people do that. But the proper way is, and that's what the commandments do. They keep us from the false way. I have not departed from my judgments. Why? Because Yahweh, Jehovah, has taught me. He's given me his understanding. Why would I jeopardize all that he has taught me? The greatest teacher that man could ever encounter. And then, how sweet. How sweet. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I trust there's been a sweetness for your soul tonight. Bush told me, I'm hungry. I trust your soul has been satisfied. I trust the Lord has blessed you and each one of us this Lord's Day. Because his word is sweeter than honey. One of the properties of honey is it never decays. It never goes off. Do you know that? We went on a holiday once to the Malpe Coast. We went on a trip to Paestum, which is used to be a city, and got absolutely fabulous Greek temples there, better than ones in Athens. And as they were excavating one of these tombs, they discovered a flask full of honey. A couple of thousand years old. And it's still edible today. It's a sweetness to it. It's incorruptible. Just like this word. Incorruptible. Sweet to my taste. And through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. But our time has gone. Trust the Lord will bless these thoughts and meditations upon the words of your hearts tonight. And sustain you through the coming week. And sustain you particularly in your afflictions. Because I know you haven't. And his promise never to leave you, nor to forsake you. Amen.